We will be in the book of Genesis in chapter 3. Again, there's been a series of questions this week. Began this meeting asking, who is he? The second night, we preached on what is truth. Last night, we asked, how can these things be? And tonight, we'll have another question. We'll be in Genesis chapter 3. I'll read the first 12 verses and one verse later. And so, if you found your place, I see you have, and you've risen, we'll begin reading here. The scriptures here record. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, then gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened,
yes.
And they knew that they were naked.
Right.
And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day.
Amen.
And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.
Right.
And he said, who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?
Yeah.
And the woman said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. I'm going to turn to verse 21, and you'll know why later. Verse 21 said unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them?
Right.
Lord Jesus, this evening, we've met here once again in your name. I ask you to walk among us. I ask you to help me to preach. Help me to have clarity in my speech, Lord, and clarity of thought. Help me, Lord Jesus, that I might deliver this that you have laid upon my heart. I pray, Lord, help everyone that's here, Lord, that no distractions should enter their minds. Lord, that the things of this world, Lord, would fade out of sight and out of mind. And Lord, rather, that your word would occupy every bit of our attention, Lord, every bit of our heart. I pray you, Lord, to work your work here amongst us all, Lord, whether the work be for cleansing, whether it be for building, whatever it might be, Lord, that you would do in our hearts. I pray you, Lord, do it unhindered. And Lord, let us all, Lord Jesus, give you the thanks, give you the glory, Lord Jesus, and do the things that you command us. And we ask you these things, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. And I call your attention, especially again, to verse 9, where we have just read. And this is the thought that I would be reading to you. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou?
Right.
And this is what I would preach to you this evening. I realize I've been, especially in the book of John, but primarily in the New Testament, throughout the early part of this week. But this thought I have for you tonight, where art thou? I'm interested in you.
Yeah.
I would like for you to know. I don't know that I need to know. But I would like for you to have settled in your heart some things when you leave here tonight.
Yeah.
Where art thou?
Right.
Where are you at with God?
Yeah.
Where are you at in your life right now?
Yeah.
And you can tell me of the day that you were saved, I hope. And if you can, I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah.
But I'm interested in where you're at right now.
Man.
Right now. You see, we have a continual struggle in our lives, even after we're saved. And from one day to the next, or I should say from one time to the next, you may be doing good for a while, and then you may struggle for a while.
Right.
And that makes you just like every one of the rest of us. And I'm not trying to lift you up nor put you down.
Right.
I'm not trying to to tell you how good you are, and I'm not trying to throw rocks at you. I'm just asking you, where art thou? Where are you tonight with the Lord God? Have you given yourself some thought? You see, you find Adam in several places throughout this chapter. I believe this chapter describes the state of all mankind. And the fall, it's said that we all fell in Adam. And so Adam's case describes all of our faults. I'm not going to ask you if you're before the temptation of sin. You're not. You've already, at some point in your life, sinned. Somewhere in your life, you have fallen short. It says, for all have sinned. That's right. And come short of the glory of God. So we know somewhere or the other, you've already fallen somewhere. You've already done something. And so what I want to ask you, we'll begin early in this story and we'll progress through it. And as we read through the different places where Adam is, I want you to be honest with yourself. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell whoever's sitting next to you. But be assured of this, God already knows. And I want you to be honest with yourself. Amen. If we can do anything tonight, I want to make sure that you don't deceive yourself.
Amen.
Let the Spirit of God talk to you.
Yeah.
And let the Lord find you in this story which we have read. And when I ask you, where art thou? I know where you're at physically, but where are you in this chapter? Because you're somewhere in this chapter. You are at one place, somewhere in this chapter. First, we find Adam falling into sin. First, we find him partaking of the forbidden fruit. It's an interesting thing. There were two trees in the middle of that garden, one of which he never ate of. There was the tree of life, and then there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of life we find mentioned after they left the garden. We find that it was there all along. The next time you hear the tree of life mentioned is in the book of Revelation. We find it in heaven. However, not only is that the beginning of the Bible, and not only is it at the end of the Bible, but the tree of life is in the middle of the Bible, and the whole Bible is about the tree of life. For the tree of life is Jesus Christ. Amen. And so where Adam could have partaken of the tree of life, he did not partake of the tree of life, but rather chose that forbidden fruit.
Right.
And so then there was two things that he did wrong. In the book of Jeremiah, the Lord was speaking to Jeremiah about the sins of his people. It says in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." He said, it's not enough they did wrong. He said, they forsook what was right to do wrong. And that's what we did when we sinned. I tell you that whatever sin it was that you can remember committing, any sin that you can remember committing was two sins. Because you forsook what was right in order to do whatever it was you did that was wrong. In order for me to speak with foul language coming out of my mouth to curse my fellow man, I have to cease from speaking good things about them. I have to cease, that's right, from having clean speech, and then I have to partake of foul speech. In order to be drunken, I have to forsake sobriety and then pick up drunkenness. In other words, any sin that I can commit is two sins. In order to live in order to live with someone that I'm not married to, I first have to forsake the belief in my heart that God ordained marriage and that it is right, and then I have to partake of the sin. I don't know what else to call it, just stacking up. In order to sin, I have to forsake what's right and then sin.
Right.
And so it is with you. So there were two things that Adam did wrong when he did one thing. Right. He turned his back on that tree of life which he could have eaten of, because the Lord only forbid them to eat of one tree.
Right.
He was not forbidden to eat of the tree of life. He just didn't.
Right.
And that's where we're at, falling in sin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't have time to name every sin that's out there, but I don't need to, do I?
No.
Do I have to name what you fell into?
No.
I don't think I do.
No.
But I am asking you, are you still falling in sin? It's a place you could be. That's where Adam started. You might be there right now. I don't condemn you if you do. If you're there, I'm trying to get you away from there, but I don't condemn you if there, because I mean that's where I started, and that's where I was, and you're no different from me. And there's none of us above one another, and you're not going to get in any way that I didn't get in. And the very first thing is to know that you're falling in sin, and Adam fell in sin, and maybe somebody here tonight is falling in sin. And if that's true, you're in the right place. You have an opportunity in front of you. You have an opportunity to get that right. But we see this is where it all starts.
That's right.
Falling into sin.
Yeah.
Where art thou tonight?
Mess.
But it gets worse from there. Because next, we see Adam, we see him trying to deceive himself, as it were. We see him taking the fig leaves.
Yeah.
It says in verse 7, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, I'd like to talk to this for a moment. What we see here is that attempt of a man to try to justify himself.
Yeah.
Because shortly after sin, what we do is justify ourselves.
Right.
We say, it's really not drunk if I just got a buzz, I didn't get drunk. We can say, well, you know, I'm living with her because I love her. We can justify sin any which way we want to. And we can say, well, we're engaged. It's just as good as being married.
No.
And it's not.
No.
And we can say, well, you know what I said, I didn't actually curse somebody, even though it was foul language. We can say, well, the word tobacco is not even mentioned in the Bible. But it does say nothing. Well, it talks about foul and filthy things. And by the way, let me hit something right here real quick. It says the wages of sin is death.
That's
and
right.
If it causes death, it must be sin.
That's right.
That ought to be just plain enough right there.
Right.
And I ain't limiting that to tobacco either. Whatever it is you're doing, if it causes sin, if it causes death, it must be sin.
Amen.
That's right.
That's right.
That includes being a daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah.
That includes anything else that causes death.
Yeah.
If it causes death, it must be sin, because the wages of sin is death.
Yeah.
And we deceive ourselves about these things and justify them. And that's what Adam was doing. That's what Adam was doing with the leaves. Now, in the Bible, and I'll get through this second point in a minute, but I think I got to hit it a little. In the Bible, you'll find that leaves represent righteousness. But leaves without fruit represent self-righteousness. That green bay tree that David talked about in Psalm 37 is a tree that has plenty of leaves but no righteousness. That's where he compared it. But no fruit. That's where he compared it to Saul. And you'll find that the tree that the Lord cursed, which by the way was also a fig tree, he cursed it because it had leaves but no fruit. Leaves with no fruit is self-righteousness.
Amen.
Self-righteousness. And so Adam took these leaves representing his self-righteousness. And fig leaves, by the way, are big leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we got fig trees around here. Y'all seen they're big leaves. But once you pull them, they shrink real fast.
Yeah.
And you can try to cover yourself with self-righteousness if you want. But a fig leaf will shrink to one quarter of its size. And if you try to cover yourself with your own self-righteousness, it won't work. It won't be long. You'll be uncovered.
Right.
And they made themselves aprons. Aprons, by the way, an apron's not very big. It's about as big as a pair of shorts, if you want to go there. Yeah, I already went there. That's how much they covered. And God wasn't happy with it. Amen.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Him and her both. Amen.
Right.
All right. Not one or the other. It's about as big is a pair of shorts or a mini skirt, and God wasn't happy with it. And that's right. And they covered themselves, but it's self-righteousness, and it wasn't much covering, and it was a covering that shrank. That's what self-righteousness is. Now maybe you're there with your sins, because I'm asking you, where art thou? Where are you at? Are you falling in sin? Have you already fallen, and are you trying to deceive yourself? By the way, when we speak of self-righteousness, there's no greater deceit than the mask of religion. That is to say, religion, without an actual salvation experience.
Right.
That is to say, to make yourself, join yourself to a church somewhere and hide under the guise of I'm a member of a church, and so therefore I'm going to heaven. And y'all, it don't work that way. And that's not the way it's described in the Scriptures. It's going to be the children of God. who inherit the kingdom of God, and not just the members of the local church that joined up under false pretenses and under fraud. That's what fig leaves are. They're fraud and they're deception, and they don't work and they don't cover. And so you can be there deceiving your own self. You know what the thing about being deceived by your own self is? If you're people who are deceiving themselves don't know they're deceiving themselves.
Amen.
If they did, they wouldn't be deceived.
Amen.
That's right. Yes. So if you are deceiving yourself, me preaching on it, is, or at least the words I say, is not going to open it up to you. But I pray that the Holy Ghost will.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And open it up to you and let you know that what you have is just a short, inadequate covering. And the fig leaves never will and never have covered anybody. And self-righteousness, and by the way, it's self-righteousness. When Isaiah said all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags,
yeah,
he wasn't talking about the righteousness that God works through us.
Yeah.
God's satisfied with the righteousness that he worked through us. It's our self-righteousness that's like filthy rags.
Yeah.
It's what we do in our own flesh without him that'll never satisfy him. What we do through the power of God will satisfy him. I want to get that straight.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with righteousness.
No.
There's everything wrong with self-righteousness.
Amen.
Leaves with fruit's a good thing. Fruit can't even survive without if a tree don't have leaves.
That's right.
That's right. And while I'm here, I'm just going to come up anyhow. Trees represent people.
Yeah.
And the Bible always did.
Yeah.
Remember I told you those two trees? Right there, you see that tree, the tree of life, was Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that in itself was a prophecy that God would be made man. The fact that the tree of life was in the Garden of Eden, it was a prophecy that God was going to be made man. Amen. All the way back to the beginning.
Right.
And you see him in the middle. When you see the tree of life, you see him nailed to the tree of death.
Because right.
That cross, that tree was dead. That was Adam again.
Right.
There was Adam at the tree of life again.
Amen.
Because that tree was cut off from the earth, yet it was planted in the earth. Y'all, that's us.
Amen.
Cut off but planted. Had no leaves, no fruit. Completely dead. No righteousness, nothing about it. No sap. The trees of the Lord are full of sap.
Amen.
You ever read that?
Amen.
Trees of the Lord are full of sap. You know what sap is? That's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. That's the Spirit of God. That's the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
God's people are full of the Spirit.
Amen.
But that tree of death of Adam was bigger than any one man.
That's right.
Amen. Your sinful flesh is bigger than any one man.
Yeah.
And there was nothing to bring it life. But they nailed, that's a permanent joining, nailed the tree of life to the tree of death.
Amen.
Trees are people. I just thought I'd get that while I was there. Amen.
Yeah.
Trees are people.
Yeah.
And those leaves that came off of that tree, that's the righteousness of flesh without the fruit of God. Well, are you deceived? Are you still falling in sin? Have you deceived yourself? Are you wearing some inadequate covering of your own righteousness, your own self-righteousness? Do you think you're all right because you go to church as much as anybody else? Well, that brings me to the next one. Are you hiding from God in the trees? See, the next time we see it, it said they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron in verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God.
Yes.
Huh. They were confronted by something here.
Right.
Confronted by this thing of a holy God. You know, they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, we all came from Adam.
Yeah.
So ain't nobody here can tell me that you don't know good from bad.
That's right.
You know good from evil.
Amen.
How do I know that? Because you came from Adam.
Yeah.
And he partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You do know right and wrong.
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
And you can say you don't, but you do.
Yeah.
And so now there they are, and they know they've done wrong. And knowing they've done wrong, and they know there is a God, now they're hiding from God. And look where they hide. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. I'll just go fit in with everybody else. I'll just come sit down with you, brother.
All right.
I'll just come sit down with you. They can't tell me from anybody else.
No.
And if he gets preaching too much on me, I'll just start talking to you. I'll hide myself amongst the trees.
Amen.
Do you hear me?
Yeah, man.
We go and we'll spend all of our time with the boys down at work and hide ourselves amongst the trees. Or we'll get with the other women, have a hen party somewhere. I don't know what y'all call them, but anyhow, we'll do something, but we'll hide ourselves amongst the trees. You understand what I'm saying? We'll take our time that we have and spend it amongst people.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, we can even talk about how we're the good folks and they're the bad folks and compare ourselves among ourselves. We can do whatever it takes, but if we're basing our righteousness, our good and our evil off the trees, we're hiding ourselves amongst the trees.
That's right.
And this is why that, now I don't know about y'all, but when somebody starts telling me they're just as good as them hypocrites down at church, I'll generally... Well, I don't back down from everything.
No.
If you tell me you're as good as the hypocrites down at the church, I'll agree with you because I figure one hypocrite's as good as another.
Well,
amen. and that's right. But that ain't what the measuring stick is. And if what you're judging yourself by is those other people, you're hiding amongst the trees. I'm trying to make this clear because I've asked you, where art thou?
Yeah.
And if this is where you're at, I want this to confront you.
Yeah.
Are you basing your experience with God on how you fit in with other people?
Mm.
Or do you have it in your mind that I'm just as righteous as those other people at the church?
Uh-oh.
Is that where you're at? Because if that's where you're at, you're hiding amongst the trees.
That's right. That's right.
If you're basing your experience with God on how you look, or act, or sound, compared to other people on the church pews, you're hiding in the trees.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find you here.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm trying to get you to open your eyes so you find yourself.
Amen. Because
like I said, I'm not grading your report card.
No.
But there is somebody that is.
Anybody?
Amen. Oh, yeah.
And I'm trying to make sure we're honest about ourselves tonight.
Come on.
Are you still falling? Are you deceiving yourself with your own covering? Are you hiding amongst the trees? Where art thou tonight? Where are you? Where are you? By the way, if you judge what's right and wrong based on what man says, you're hiding in the trees. If you think that... if you think man's wisdom is sufficient so that you can read a self-help book and take that to be a priority over what the Scripture says, so you're hiding in the trees.
That's right.
If you take the advice and the wisdom of men rather than the commandments, God don't give advice.
Amen.
Amen. God don't give advice.
No.
He gives commandments.
Yes, right.
Now, if you take the advice of men over the commandments of God, you're hiding in the trees.
Yes, right.
Amen.
Yes.
And if you think that it's wise to follow after the wisdom of this world, you're walking around in the trees.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Where are you tonight? Where are you, Adam? Next, I see that Adam says, after the Lord confronts him again, our Lord confronts him straight up. In verse 9, the Lord God called to Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" In verse 10, Adam says something here. He said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. I hid myself." Are you guilty, afraid, and ashamed? Adam came to a point, you notice he wasn't hiding now? He didn't say this behind the tree. God had found him.
Oh yeah.
Found him in those trees and everything.
That's right.
Oh yeah.
And he was guilty, and he was afraid.
Yes, sir.
He was ashamed.
Yes.
And if you're in this place tonight, you're almost there.
Yeah.
You're almost there.
Right.
And if you're anywhere I mentioned earlier, this is where I'm trying to get you to.
Yeah. Oh, indeed. Yes.
Because if you're hiding or if you're self-deceived, you need to be at this point.
Amen.
You know, what happened here is he was confronted by God.
Yeah.
And he was guilty. And he knew he was guilty.
That's right.
Are you guilty tonight? Do you realize the condemnation of sin? Is there a burden on your shoulders?
Right.
Is there a weight that's there? Is there something oppressive that's weighing you down? Do you feel that guilt of sin that's on you? Do you have inside you the knowledge of the condemnation that's coming down upon you? Are you guilty tonight? Are you ashamed? I'm going to ask you this. You can know in your mind that you're guilty and feel no shame for it. I've been there many, many, many times. I remember before I was saved, I did a lot of things that were wrong, and I knew they were wrong, but I wasn't ashamed of them.
No.
Matter of fact, I would do them openly in public. Like the case that we heard of today with a person who was foul and filthy in public.
Yeah.
I understand that. I've been there.
Yeah.
But there did come a time when the Spirit of God got a hold of me, and when I began to feel the convicting power of God, it got a hold of me. And then my guilt was not head knowledge guilt, but I knew in my heart that I was guilty before God. That I was guilty not of a technical violation of a written law somewhere, but rather I was guilty of offending a holy God. And I began to get afraid. Thank God. I remember as the Lord would bring conviction on me, and it didn't last one day. It got harder and it got worse. And all those years I spent resisting the power of God, and He got real with me. And He was in the nighttime. I remember waking up in the nighttime and the Lord sending me dreams that I had just died and it was too late. And I was on my way into eternity and wake up in a sweat with the terror of hell on me. No, I never saw hell, but I felt the terror of it. And I thank God for that. He let me feel the guilt that was on me. And I was afraid. I was afraid.
Yes, sir.
Are you afraid tonight?
Come on.
Because if you've been falling in sin, if you've been deceiving yourself, if you've been hiding yourself from God, I hope that you get to this point where that the Word of God has confronted you and brings you to the point where that knowledge of guilt goes beyond head knowledge and goes down deep in the heart.
Yes,
Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of God, we persuade men.
Yes.
Terror. I tell you, to die in your sins is a terrible thing. To fall into the hands of a living God, guilty.
Oh.
Knowing that punishment is eternal.
That's right.
God had already told Adam, in the day that thou eat thereof, thou surely die.
That's right.
Adam knew that.
Yeah.
Now Adam was afraid.
Yes.
And did I mention he was ashamed? Nakedness is the shame of sin.
That's right.
Nakedness is the shame of sin.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I honestly believe if somebody really gets saved, you won't have to tell them to put their clothes on. They're going to be looking for something.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm telling you that.
Yeah.
Nakedness is the shame of sin.
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe that when Christ died upon the cross, after He stripped Him of all of His clothes, He hung up there naked for our shame.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God.
Thank
you,
Lord.
And Adam stood in front of God.
Yeah.
Spiritually naked, besides being physically naked.
Amen.
And I'm telling you that here begins a picture of judgment.
Right.
Did you ever wonder what the final judgment, that great judgment day, is going to be like? It's right there in the beginning of the book.
Amen.
You can quit looking in the end. It's in the beginning.
That's right.
The end of the book's in the beginning, by the way.
Yeah. Right.
Adam stood naked before God.
Yeah.
And I tell you, on that day, everybody saved and lost will stand naked before God.
Yes, sir.
Paul said of the throne of the throne of Jesus Christ that we shall all stand before Christ. He said that we will give an account of the deeds done in our body, whether good or bad.
That's
he
right.
said that about Christians.
Amen.
Yeah.
He said that about Christians.
That's right.
We will all give an account for the deeds done in the body, whether good or bad.
Amen.
You're going to stand spiritually naked before God.
Yeah.
No defense.
Amen.
Nothing to hide behind.
Amen.
Nobody but you and Him. And you will give account.
That's right.
You will not sit and listen while you get raked over the coal. Oh, no, no. You're not going to get off that easy.
No.
Yeah, right.
You will give an account.
That's right.
What have you done today?
Okay.
Where art thou?
Come on.
Where are you at?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know what it is to be ashamed of yourself before God? You know what it is to realize what you have done and hang your head and know that you have sinned.
Yeah.
To understand the word sin. It's not just something that the preacher spits and hollers about.
No.
It's what we do.
That's right.
Willfully.
Yeah.
Against a loving and holy God.
Amen.
It's despite done to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It says in the Scriptures, all unrighteousness is sin. I want you to get that. All.
Amen.
All unrighteousness is sin. Amen. Not might be, is. All unrighteousness. Every single bit of it. What is unrighteousness? Anything that's not righteous.
Amen.
You say, that ain't sin, really. It's righteousness. What you just did was righteousness. Well, no, then it's sin.
Yeah.
All unrighteousness is sin.
Yeah.
That ought to take out some gray areas for you.
Yeah.
But the shame of that nakedness, the spiritual nakedness.
Come on.
Yeah.
Nothing to hide behind.
No.
Yeah.
I can't talk tough to God.
No.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Right.
What am I going to impress Him with?
Mm-hmm.
My education? I mean, really, what am I going to impress God with?
No.
I'm not going to impress Him at all.
No, sir.
And when I have to give an account, when He looks at me and says, why did you say that?
Right.
Do you understand that I have to answer?
Oh, yeah.
I have to answer.
Amen.
I don't have the option of saying I'm sorry. No, no, that's not what He said.
No.
He didn't say I'm sorry. He said give an account.
That's right.
Right.
Give an account.
Come on.
Yeah.
Tough, isn't it?
Come on, bro.
Yeah,
reach out.
Verse 10 there. You also find that he was convicted by God's word and His presence.
Right.
It says, I heard thy voice in the garden,
yeah,
and I was afraid.
Yeah.
Thy voice, that's His word, in the garden,
right,
it's His presence. Do you know what Holy Ghost conviction is? It's feeling the presence of God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what it is.
Man.
The presence of God convicts sinners of sin.
That's right.
God doesn't have to speak words to you.
No.
All He has to do is let you feel a slight bit of His
that's
presence.
Right. Amen.
Yeah.
To feel the holiness of God will make you know who you are.
Amen.
And it will bring terror into your heart.
Yeah.
And by the way, as we covered already, that word is tied in with the Spirit. Thy word is truth, and the Spirit of truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you hear that word preached, the presence of God will come into your presence.
Amen.
And that's why I say again, bring your children to the house of God as much as you can.
That's right.
And sooner or later, the presence of God is going to open up to them. The convicting power of the Holy Ghost will come to them and let them know that they're lost. And you won't have to tell them,
right,
because it's the Holy Ghost who will tell them, you're lost.
Amen.
And that's where Adam was.
That's right.
The convicting presence of the Holy Ghost of God, the Spirit of God, was upon him. That's why he was afraid.
Amen.
Where are you tonight?
Come on.
Do you know that terror of knowing there's a holy God and knowing that you've sinned?
Mm.
If that's a light thing to you, I don't know if you've ever gotten there.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then, in verse 11, I told you we would give an account. I want you to look at this. He said, who told thee that thou was naked? Is thou eating the tree whereof I commanded thee, thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, "The woman to whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." Now, we often say he was blaming Eve. I don't know that he was. Did he say something wrong? That's exactly what happened, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
He gave a full account of what he did. Full account. I don't believe he was trying to hide anything at this point.
Yeah.
And you know how I know that? I want you to look at the last three words he said. I did
eat.
Eat.
Yeah.
What was the last three words that Eve said? One verse later. I did eat.
Amen.
When we stand before God and give an account, do you know what we're going to do? We will confess with our own mouths what we did.
Amen.
You will, and I will. So you don't have to confess everything before God. You ain't got time for that. I'm going to tell you, I'm still confessing.
Amen.
Amen. I am. I still, sometimes a memory comes back to my mind and from things that I've done years and years ago. I realize it's already forgiven. I know that. But I still want to confess everything I can. I'd like to, when I stand before God on that day, know that He says, "Well, you gave an account of this. Okay, you gave an account of this." I'd like for that. It says, "If you judge yourself, you should not be judged." That's what it says. I would really like to go ahead and get everything I can out on the table now.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Yeah.
Because sooner or later I'm going to give an account.
Yeah.
And you will too.
Indeed. Yes, sir.
Have you gave an account to God? Have you confessed before God that you were a sinner? I said we're a sinner.
Right.
I want you to understand something about the word sinner. There's a lot of arguments about this. I'm going to make it simple for you. When the Bible talks about sinner, when it uses the word sinner, it's not talking about a history statement about what you've done.
Right.
It's talking about the character that you are.
Exactly.
And that's why in the Scriptures you'll find the word sinner used for lost people. There's one time in the book of James when James admonishes backsliders, "Cleanse your hands, you sinners."
Right.
The only time I know of where the word sinners ever applied to saved folks. Every other time it says, "For God commendeth His love toward us that when we were sinners."
Exactly.
Now then, I realize that your flesh is still sinful.
Oh, yeah.
And that's true.
Right.
And that speaks of the nature of flesh. Your flesh desires to go after Rome. That's why you in the Spirit should rule over your flesh.
Yeah.
And mortify your flesh. That's, I mean, put it to death.
Yeah.
I don't preach anything about how you have to sin. That's not true.
No.
I do preach that you need to know how to get right with God when you do sin.
Amen.
But did you ever confess to God that you were a sinner?
Oh,
yeah. I'll promise you today that I got saved. Although I cannot remember the words I prayed at all. I'll promise you that I wasn't hiding nothing from God.
Amen.
I was tired of that.
Yeah.
I was tired of that.
Amen.
I wasn't trying to pretend I was nothing. I was tired of that.
Yeah.
And I knew that if I had any hope whatsoever, it had to be in God's mercy. Isn't that something? The very God that I had offended,
right? Yeah.
The very God that I had sinned against, was the only hope I had.
Yeah.
The high and holy God who could not admit sin into His presence,
right,
was the only hope I had.
Amen.
Only hope that Adam had.
Thank you, Lord.
Adam had already been told in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die.
That's right.
And there he was confessing to the same God who told him that, "I did eat."
Exactly.
Amen. Where art thou?
Right.
Did you ever get clean, right, and honest with God?
Right.
Did you ever lay yourself in front of God with enough faith that you could say with Job, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him"? In other words, if you're going to send me to hell, God, you're justified.
Yeah.
I desire your mercy. If you won't give it to me, it's my fault.
Oh yeah.
You've got to get that honest.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Salvation's not a name it and claim it business, people.
No, sir.
You don't just walk up and do whatever it is that you want to do and say, "All right, God's got to save me now."
Uh-oh.
You're not God.
No. No.
And He is.
Right.
And if you've got that attitude, I tell you, you've never, never been afraid and ashamed and spiritually naked in front of God. And if you have been there, you know what I'm talking about.
Come on.
And you know what the Scriptures are talking about.
Yes, sir.
Because I'm telling you, Adam's story is every man's story that comes to God.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Are you still out in sin? I ask you this again.
Right.
Are you hiding behind your own little self-righteousness? You got your game played out just right. You hiding amongst the trees? Have you been confronted with God and His Word and His presence? Are you bearing that burden of guilt today? Do you know that you need to get right with God, but are you still afraid? Are you ashamed of where you're at? Where are you tonight? Well, I thank God it's not the end of the chapter. I thank God that there's more to it. I read one verse that seemed out of place. I'm not going to go into the sentence that God passed upon him. I've told you I've got somewhere I'm trying to go. I'm not going to go into all the direction that He gave them, but I want to go to the mercy and the grace of God that we find in verse 21. Would you look at verse 21 with me? If you still have your Bibles open. It says, "Unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them." That verse is full of the mercy of God. The mercy of God is all over that. Those skins, first off, skins, an animal doesn't just shed its skin and put on new skin. Not the kind you'd make clothes out of anyhow. And although he could have hided that snake, that wasn't talking about a snake skin garment. It's talking about skins, as in a leather skin. I believe it was a lamb that died. It doesn't state it, but I believe it was a lamb that died. But something had to die. By the way, every time there's a sin committed, something has to die. And you say, well, how is that so? Well, Jesus died for my sins, and He died for your sins. And if one sin was all that had ever been committed, it would have been enough that the Son of God would have had to have died. Anytime the wages of sin is death. Is death. And if, by the way, that's one more reason why that it's not possible that evolution can be true. Evolution says that life came through death. And that man was created through death. But yet the Bible says that it was by sin that death came into the world. There was no death before sin. That's why you can't have this mixed together mess they call theistic evolution, where you try to mix up evolution in the Bible. Now that's for free. It's not where I'm going. But death came by sin. And we see here some animal had to die for man's sin. So not only did death come by sin, but a substitutionary death. That means one sinned and another died. And by the way, when you sin, it's not always you that suffers. Sometimes it's your children that suffer. That's right. You say, well, God's not just. He's not the one that sinned.
That's right.
You did that.
Amen.
Don't blame God for what you did.
No.
And if you sin, sometimes it's your neighbor that will suffer. Your husband or your wife that will suffer. And don't, like I said, don't get mad at God for that. You're the one that sinned.
Amen.
Yes, sir. But something died. Something hurts. And there's a substitutionary rule here. One sinned and one died.
That's right. Yeah.
Man and wife sinned, two of them died.
Man.
But God in His mercy allowed that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by the way, where He was never happy with that partial coverage that they had made for themselves, God made this coverage and He was happy with it.
Amen.
It said He made them coats of skin.
That's right.
That's not caveman coats.
No.
That word coats is the same word that's used in the Scriptures to describe the robe that Aaron wore.
Exactly.
It went top to bottom.
That's right.
And it covered them completely.
Yeah.
I still believe that we ought to cover ourselves top to bottom. Amen.
Yes,
amen.
Right.
Amen. Because God was happy with it, and I want to make God happy. And that's right. And I believe I want to testify to this old world out here that the shame of sin, and the nakedness is the shame of sin. And the reason that I'm fully covered is because I'm fully covered. I'm fully covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that's why I fully cover myself. And I believe that we should still testify to this world that we can be fully covered, because God fully covered Adam and Eve. And where they had barely covered themselves and it was insufficient, God's mercy
fully covers a man and a woman. And God's grace is full coverage, and that's what I testify of by wearing all my clothes. It's not just something I'm doing to be ridiculous. I'm doing it for a testimony of the grace of God in this world. God's coverage is also a lasting coverage. Where I told you those leaves would dry up and wither, and then I had to replace it again and again and again. Rather, that you know leather, if you know leather at all, it lasts. God made them a covering that will last. And God's grace is sufficient. It's a full covering, and it lasts, and it lasts. It'll outlast me. Amen. It'll outlast me. I'll be dead and gone, and God's grace and His mercy will still be covering me. Amen. Is this where you're at? I hope this is where you're at. Where art thou tonight? Are you in your sins? I have no stones.
Right.
Told you earlier, I don't hold salvation over your head. I hold it before your face.
Amen.
Are you in your sins? This is important.
Right.
Are you hiding? You hiding amongst the trees here?
Uh-oh.
Sitting there waiting for me to shut up so you can go home and not be discovered? I'm not the one that discovered you.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
It's got nothing to do with me.
Right.
Right.
Have you been confronted sometime this week? Maybe tonight? Are you afraid? Because if you're not fully covered, you ought to be afraid.
Exactly. Yes.
If you're not fully covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, you ought to be terrified.
Amen. Yeah.
Have you ever been spiritually strip searched in front of God? Have you ever went through that in your life one time? If you got saved, you did.
Exactly.
Do you know what it's like to stand in front of a holy God and say guilty?
Right.
And say, I did eat.
Yeah.
Yes,
I am wrong.
Right.
And feel the terror of God's wrath.
Come on.
Where art thou tonight?
Right.
Do you know everything I'm talking about? And have you been to that point where you knew you had full coverage? Do you know the relief that comes? The relief that comes from knowing that you have been saved. You know what saved means? It means rescued. It means that you've been rescued from that destruction that by now you know that you earned. Do you know what it's like to be fully covered? Do you know what it's like to have humbled yourself before God and say, whatever God judges is right, and I thank God He's had mercy to cover me, and I don't have the shame of nakedness anymore. I'm not spiritually naked before this world. I'm not physically either, but I'm not spiritually naked before this world because I have been covered completely.
Amen.
Jesus Christ's righteousness covers me, and you have nothing you can say against me. For if you say it against me, you say it against Jesus Christ. Because I am covered completely by His righteousness. Mine was insufficient, but His is sufficient. Mine wouldn't last, but His will last. Where are you tonight? Where art thou tonight? Are you content with where you at? Or did you find yourself short? I mentioned about seven things in there, and only the last one was reconciled and saved by God's grace. Only the last one was God's grace and mercy. All of the early ones in there were places that I would not that you would remain at.
Yeah.
All the other places in there are places that still need something, still need another step, still need the mercy of God. Where art thou tonight?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I can't get you anywhere. And if you're earlier in there, there's nothing I can do. And can I tell you one last thing? There's nothing that you can do. There's one who can. And that's Jesus Christ. But I believe in Him. I believe if you'll submit yourself to Him, if you'll stand before Him spiritually naked, ashamed as though you certainly are.
Right.
And afraid as though you certainly are.
Yeah.
Or you will be if you're spiritually naked.
Oh, yeah.
He said that he that cometh into me, I will in no wise cast out.
That's right.
Would you come tonight? Yes.